Blog Talk Radio.
Judge and Savior of Israel and the world. Today we're being very blessed to again bring you the words of the Mighty One. And we're going to bring this word to you today, and we're going to deal with a subject that's very relevant to many of you all, and that is to finish our lesson on the Ten Commandments. We left off on the Second Commandment, but today we're going to teach the significance of what it means when it says, when Yah says not to use his name in vain. We're going to deal with that today. And we're going to dedicate our entire lesson today to a beautiful brother who is generally here when I'm not. When I'm out of town or doing a conference somewhere else, generally comes to the station and bring a CD and talk to our beautiful listening audience. I'm talking to about none other than our brother Joshua Ben Israel. The other day his oldest sister died, and so therefore we're going to dedicate our lesson today to our beautiful brother Joshua. And the song that we decided and elected to play was Only Through You, Yah.
Receive us.
blessing only through you.
I will
praise your holy name.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Marie Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing your truth or traditions. Today, I'm again honored to speak on the word of Yah. And we're going to bring you something we left off a few weeks on. I promise our beautiful listening audience that I would break down and explain the whole 10 commandments. Why are these laws so significant? What is the relevance of them? And how does one properly keep these great commandments that our Creator, Yahweh, wrote upon a tablet of stones with his own fingers? The commandments that's known as the Ten Commandments. A few weeks I left off in reading the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. We read and explained the first two commandments, and we're going to read those today as we proceed to the third commandment. But according to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, starting at the first verse, it says,
"And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage."
Right here, our Creator differentiates himself from all the other deities of the land, all of the deities that people might be serving. He let you know that he is not the Christ of the New Testament. He let you know that he's not a moon god. He let you know that he is the same Elohim that brought thee out of the land of Mizraim, or Egypt that you might call, and out of the house of bondage. So you know exactly who he is. And then his first commandment is,
"Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me."
Yes, our Creator is very jealous. He's even so jealous that he's called a consuming fire. And his first commandment, which is above all the commandments, is, "Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me." He gives a list of the Ten Commandments according to their priority. the first being the greatest, the second being next to it, and so on and so forth. So you see, the last Ten Commandments is great. It is very significant, but it is not as significant as the first commandment. And that here is the commandment in which the Creator distinguished himself and let everybody know exactly who he is, and that is he's the Elohim that brought the children of Israel out of the land of Mizraim and out of the house of bondage. And he tells us that thou shalt have no other Elohims before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Here the Creator proceeds to the second commandment, which is, thou shalt not make of thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. And of course, this commandment totally condemns the entire Catholic Church, because their churches, their places of worship, are full of graven images, full of so-called saints that have died, full of pictures of graven images of the things that they worship, that they bow to, and that they serve. This condemns the entire Catholic religion and the entire Christian religion that follows them. This is a blow against Catholicism as a whole. And then he proceeds,
thou shalt not bow down thyself to them.
Don't bow to these images that when you walk to these churches and they tell you to do the sign of the cross when you see them, ignore them. I know you might get put out of these schools. I know you might be, as they threatened to put me out of the Poors years ago, I know you might get put out of St. Mary's and the Poors and Purcell and the other Catholic schools if you don't bow to these graven images. But just tell the priest that you perceive them to be graven images. They are not real. They have eyes and see not. Ears have they, and they hear not, and mouth have they, but they speak not, and tell them that your scriptures and their Bible condemns this. You're not to bow or worship any graven image. I know the so-called father will get upset with you, but I'd rather they get upset with you than the Most High get upset with you. You make that choice yourself.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them.
Don't bow down yourself to them.
Nor serve them.
Nor serve them.
For I, Yada Elohim, am a jealous Elohim.
Am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And that's all his commandments. Now the Christians and the hypocrites like to, when you corner them, they will admit that these commandments are still binding. Even the Jehovah Witness, when you corner them, they say, well, we got to live still and live by the principles of the law. Because I've heard them tell me, I'd heard Jehovah Witness, I heard other religious groups tell me that these commandments are done away with. Then as I began to categorically name them, I said, you mean it's okay to murder? I said, no, you can't keep that. You still have to observe that. I mean, is it okay to steal? They'll admit that you still are not able to steal. And I said, do you mean that I don't have to honor my mother and father? And they will say, yes, you still have to honor your mother and father. But then you ask them, do you still have to keep the Sabbath day? And they say, well, that one is done away with. And then you politely ask them, to show you where that is done away with. Now, that's one of the seals of the commandments, the seventh day, as we're going to get to it in a moment. And that seals them because right there it tells you specifically who Yahweh is. His name is in the Sabbath. Well, let's read on.
Third commandment, verse 7. Thou should not take the name of Yah da Elohim in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
And that's the commandment that we left off on a few weeks ago. We never explained the significance of what does it mean to take the Almighty's name in vain. And this is a great commandment. As you see, this commandment is mentioned over thou shalt not murder. Even before you get to thou shalt not commit adultery. Even before you get to the commandment, thou shall remember the Sabbath day. Even before you get to the commandment, honor your mother and father, you see the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy Elohim in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So as we see, this is a very, very important law. So what does it mean when it says don't take his name in vain? That means don't take his name in vain means to not take his vain for something that's useless, something that's not worthy of praise, something that's vile, something that you can use every day. You don't take his name in vain. This is a great name. And you don't use it to just curse anyone. You don't use the name to blaspheme. And you don't use the name as if it's nothing and totally ignore it. Let's get a couple examples in the scriptures about what it means to be vain. Vain is when something is useless. Vain is something that doesn't have much value to it. Something that you can take for granted. Let me show you a couple examples of something that people took in vain. First of all, according to the book of Psalms 127, let's go there, Psalms 127, and we can see this same Hebrew word and see what it means by being vain. According to Psalms 127, it speaks of Yah's house, and it says in the first verse,
except Yahweh build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Except Yahweh build a house. And no, the Catholic Church is not built on the name of Yah. The Christian religion is not built on the name of Yah. The Islamic religion was not built on the word of Yah. They took this great name in vain. And right here we see it says, except Yah build a house, except Yahweh build it, they labor in, there's that word, vain that build it. They're totally laboring in vain that built a house. And we don't want you to labor in vain. And it said, except Yah keep the city, the watchman waited, but in vain. In other words, it's not going to do him any good. It's not going to profit him. It's not any protection. So sad, therefore, when the Creator says, don't use his name in vain, he means not to use it as if it's something useless, something that doesn't have any value, something that's not worthy of your attention nor your praise. This is what the Creator is speaking of. But the day our people are using the name in vain. They're using it in vain by not using it at all. Instead of calling out the Almighty's name, they're calling out the name of Lord and God. Both of those are just the names of pagan deities. And when you use it instead or in place of the name of the Most High, you're truly using his name in vain. If you go to the book show you what I'm talking about. If you go to the book of Exodus 23, we're going to go to the 23rd chapter of Exodus, and we're going to see the significance of this word vain in Hebrew, shave. We're going to see what it means, shave, or to take something in vain. It says in Exodus 23, verse 13,
and in all things that I have said unto you.
The Creator said, I've said a lot of things to you. I told you how to honor your mother and father. I told you how to take care of your children. I told you how to honor the Sabbath day. I told you how to honor your parents. I told you about committing adultery and idolatry. And I told you and gave you commandments about not murdering and stealing. But in all things. Creator emphasizes here, and in all things that I've said unto you, be circumspect.
And make no mention of the name of other Elohim.
And make no mention of the name of other Elohims.
Neither let it be heard out of thy mouth.
Neither let it be heard out of your mouth. And that's what you're doing every day you go to church. You're taking the name of Yah in vain. You're making it as if it's not important to use. Let's stop for a minute. How would you like someone just to call you boy? You would be insulted. As our ancestors were insulted when a white man called every black man boy. Of course, when you got up in age past 9, he quit calling you boy, and he sometimes called you uncle then. But mostly all our life he called you boy. He acted as if your name was very unimportant, had no significance at all, just so you understood that he was talking to you. Whether he called you by name or not, it was sufficient for him to merely address you as boy. And that was an insult to our parents, as it is today an insult to us, because we would like tells him the first thing we tell him is, that, hey, my name is not boy. My name is such and such a thing. Well, did you know the Most High has a name? And the Most High's name is even more holier than any name under the heaven, the or the earth. His name is to be praised. The temple in Jerusalem was built, the house, his name. He said, the whole earth shall call on my name. Let me give you an example of how important the Almighty's name is. Before we drill with this one law, let's go to the book of 1 Kings. Let's go to 1 Kings. We go to 8th chapter, 1 Kings, and I want to show you how the Almighty's name is great. We're going to start reading at 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and I want to start dealing the 41st to the 43rd verse to show you the significance of this name.
Moreover, concerning a stranger.
This is a prayer that our father Solomon fell down on his hands and knees and prayed to our Creator to answer. And this is the prayer. He prayed not only for Israel, but he also prayed for the other nations on the earth. He prayed for all the strangers. He prayed for everyone on the face of this earth that wanted to call out the name of Yah to get a blessing. And here's the prayer of our father Solomon to the Creator.
Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake.
In other words, his name was so great that people came out of distant countries just to worship and called on the name of Yah.
For they shall hear of thy great name.
For they shall hear of your great name.
And of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray towards this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place.
Then Solomon asked the Creator to hear, thou in heaven, which is your dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger called it to be for. For all the people of the earth, not some of them, but all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, and to do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. So I ask my brothers and sisters, if the name of Yah was so insignificant that one does not have to even use it, why was the greatest temple that was ever built by the richest and wisest king that ever lived on this earth was built just for the name of Yah, just to hold the name of Yah that was in the Ark of the Covenant upon the Ten Commandments? And when that Ark was brought into the temple, it had the name of Yah, and it was built to hold that Ark, and the house is called by the name of Yah. That's how great the Creator's name is. Let's read a little further. Let's emphasize this before we go any further. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Let's get to the 33rd chapter. And notice what it said in the 7th verse.
And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of Elohim, of which Elohim had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever.
In other words, he promised to put his name there forever. And here man is polluted by putting an idol in the house of Yah that Yah had chose to place his name at. That's how great the name is. And if we wasn't allowed to use the name, why was it built? And if we was not allowed to use the name of Yah, look further in the book of Psalms 61. If this name is so insignificant that we can ignore it, according to Psalms 61, notice what it says in the 8th verse.
So will I sing praise unto thy name forever.
Now, if we didn't know the name, how would we be able to sing praises unto the name forever? How can we do that if the name was a name that nobody knew about, and if we was not allowed to pronounce it? See, the Jewish people today, they took the name of Yah out of the Holy Scriptures. They took it out. So the Bibles that you have read today that was translated from many of the Jewish manuscripts, you won't see the word Yahweh. You'll see Adonai. You will see Baal, or Lord. They placed these words instead of the name of Yah because they said they felt that the name was too holy and too sacred for men to use. So therefore, they substituted with the names of Lord God, or Baal, or Adonai, instead of the name of the Most High. But notice what the Most High told us in the book of Psalms 68, verse 4. It says, sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Right here it tells us to rejoice before the Most High, to sing songs to the Most High by his name, Yah. And then we get to Psalm 69. Notice what it says here, verse 30 to 36.
I will praise the name of Elohim with a song.
Right here, and the song said, I'm going to praise Yah, and how will I praise the name of Elohim? I will praise the name of Elohim with a song, such as the house of Israel do. All of the other churches in the city of Cincinnati, they're praising the Christ of the New Testament. They're singing songs to a graven image that cannot save, that is not your Savior. Their songs that is administered to him. But our people that when endowed with the Spirit of the Most High, notice what it said, I will praise the name of Elohim with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
This also shall please Yahweh better than an ox.
This shall please the Most High.
Or bullock that have horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this.
The humble shall see this and be glad.
And your heart shall live that seek Elohim. For Yah heareth the poor.
And despises not his prisoners.
Let the heaven and earth praise him.
The sea.
And everything
that moveth therein.
For Elohim will save Zion.
Elohim will save Zion.
And will build the cities of Yehuda.
That they may dwell there and have in its possession. Thy seed also the servant shall inherit it. And they that love his name shall dwell there forever. So you see, the Almighty's name is very important. All through the book, he tells us to make a joyful noise to his name. To praise his name. And he said all of his people would know his name. Now, why would he give us the knowledge of his name if he didn't want us to call on it? And why would he command us to call on his name if it was a vain thing? But our people today are taking it in vain. The Jewish people are teaching our people to call the Most High Hashem. And what is that? All that means is the name. In Hebrew, the word Shem means name, and the word Ha is an indefinite article meaning the. So all they're saying is the name. Islam is doing no better. They know that the name that they call upon, Allah, is not a personal, proper name. They know all that means is the deity. A deity. That's all it means. So they, too, are taking the name in vain. And the Christians are doing worse. They're doing worse than anyone. Well, the Christians are doing worse than the Muslims and the Jewish community because they have supplanted the name of Yah and have our people calling out the name of a strange Elohim instead of the name of Yah. Notice again in book of Exodus 23:13, it says, in all things, let's get that so you can see it. It says in book of Exodus, 23rd chapter, the 13th verse.
And in all things that I have said unto you.
And in all things that I have said unto you.
Be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other Els.
That's the reason Elisha, he loves his listening audience. He loves his brothers and sisters. Doesn't want to hurt anyone's feeling, but he refused to call out the name Jesus. Because that is the name of another deity. The Almighty was not a Greek. His people was not Greek. And the Creator did not speak the Greek language. The name, the only language that's recorded that the Almighty spoke to anyone was in the language of Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew to the people, not Greek, but Hebrew. All his people that he named had Hebrewic names that were significant of him, that praised him. The Most High never called anyone by the name of Jesus. First of all, brothers and sisters, there's no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. Secondly, there's no J's in the Greek language. Thirdly, there was no J's on this earth, period. There was no J's sound into the 15th century. So nobody had a name with a J. There was no Jacobs in Hebrew. There's Yaakov. There are no Judahs. There's Yehuda. There are no Jews. There's Hudadim. There is no Joseph. There's Yosef. There is no Jehovah. There's Yahweh. All of these names is a monstrosity. It's a distortion of the language. There is no J sound, period. No one ever lived that possessed the name that you call out today. And as a matter of fact, the name that you call out today was taken by a false Greek deity by the name of Zeus. Zeus, that's the name you're calling out today. They just took away the Z and replaced it with a J, and now you have what they have today. The Almighty never named anything holy or anyone holy with a Greek name, especially a Greek name that was a derivative of a false god, a false deity. And every time you call out this name, you're not praising the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not praising the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. You're not praising the Holy One of Israel. You're not praising the Most High, but you're praising an ancient Greek deity. And not only are you acting the fool, but you're going against the commandments of the creator. He said, in all things that I've said unto you, be circumspect that thou mention not the name of any other deity, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. And that's exactly what you're doing every day, calling out the name of a Greek deity, which is even worse than what any religion is doing on this earth. The Christ of the New Testament is not the same creator that created the universe. He's not the same. And the Almighty had no son with a Greek name. The Most High told his people, warned them about the evil of the Greeks. He condemned them. And now they got you studying out of a Greek New Testament and calling out the name of a Greek deity, thinking that you're serving the Most High. They're not the same. And the Most High is so wonderful that even when he allowed the devil to write his book, which is the New Testament, he let the people know, even according to the New Testament, that he and the Christ of the New Testament were not the same. And the Christ of the New Testament let everybody know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is higher than him and greater than him, and he is the only one that is to be praised and worshiped. Let me show you what the Christ of the New Testament said about Yahweh. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter. The Almighty is great. He's so great that when they wrote their books, he made them acknowledge him. He made the Quran acknowledge his presence and his people and his books. He made the people that wrote the New Testament acknowledge his presence, his people, and his book. Even today, if you go to Iraq, which is one of the oldest cities on the face of the earth, and if my knowledge or recollection serves me right, it is the oldest city on this earth, and it is called Iraq. And if you go anywhere around there, you will see in Iraq that they have many ancient cities. And in these cities, they don't call out the name of JC. These cities are not named after the deity, but all of the ancient cities got Yah behind them. You got Nasiyah, Samaya, Fujiyah. Those are ancient cities that you can read about today, that they're fighting in. Now, if the Most High's name was Allah, why wasn't the city's name after him? Why does all these ancient cities, if you go there, you'll see that the name of Yah is incorporated in it? Because they knew that Yah is the only creator, the only Elohim. And they made their cities and built them in recognition of the true Elohim, the Elohim of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what they did, according to their cities in the country of Iraq. Just go there. Just read about it. But today our people think that the Christ of the New Testament is the Most High. But let me just let you know that the Christ of the New Testament says he is not. I said something the other day on radio, and I want to set the record straight so nobody can misinterpret what I was saying. I was speaking, and one of the radio announcers asked me on this same station last Monday, why do I speak against the hippie on the stick? And I told him that the true Christ of the New Testament was one of my black brethren, and he believed in keeping the commandments. The majority of what he teaches in the New Testament supports the commandments. The majority of what he has written or what is written and ascribed to him in the New Testament, he exalts the Most High. And I said, this is my brother. I said, but the man that y'all worship in the day is not the black, woolly-headed Israelite that the people are now worshiping as if he's a deity. I said, the man that y'all are worshiping today is a hippie on the stick, because the image that you're worshiping is not the image of an ancient black Israelite, but the man that you're worshiping today is a model that's drawn up by a bunch of artists such as Michelangelo, who chosen his drunk uncle to be a model for Christ. So what you have today, you're worshiping, is a hippie on the stick. But the true Christ of the New Testament told the people to worship only Yah, to let you know that he's not Yah. Let's look at a few verses in your book. According to Matthew's, the fourth chapter, let's read the 8th to the 10th verse.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain.
So what's going on here? We read about the day that the Christ of the New Testament figured he was a man. He was about 30 years of age, and he wanted to show that he had the ability to rebuke the devil and to rebuke temptation. So he waited to go on a mountain, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights so he can be weak. And in his weak state, the temptation came to him, and he called the temptator Satan. And when he came to him, the devil said unto him,
and again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world.
And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world,
and the glory of them.
And the glory of them. He showed him how all of his servants are calling their self by the name of bishops and reverends. And they got big churches and cathedrals. And they drive big Cadillacs and Mercedes and Rolls Royce and have their own private planes and have many houses in various parts of the world where they can spend the summer here and the winter here, and where these ministers have big million-dollar bank accounts and they're making millions of dollars. He showed them all of these things and all the glory of them. And he said, I'll make you one of these ministers. Bow down and worship me.
And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
All these things will I give thee. And all you have to do, if you want to be another big T.D. Jakes, if you want to be someone that even call yourself by the name of money and Creflo Dollar and all that, if you want to be one of these slick preachers and be rich with millions of followers and millions of dollars and airplanes and limousines and jets and mansions everywhere, I'll give you these things. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Be like everybody else. Worship the creature and not the creator. And if you worship a man, I guarantee you that I give you these things. if you are ready to worship a man.
Then said JC unto him.
Then said JC to the devil.
Get thee hence, Satan.
Get away from me. I don't want to hear your con game.
For it is written.
It is written. In other words, he quoted the Torah. He quoted the law. He used the Almighty's word as his strength. And he said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written.
Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. So who did he tell the devil that you're supposed to serve and worship? Well, Christ told the devil that you shall only worship Yahweh. Christians don't see it that way. The Christians are saying that this very moment, they're saying, Brother Alicia, I know what you're saying, that Christ said, but this will we do. We will worship Christ. We're going to serve Christ. Did you know that Christ went on after he said this and called everyone that worshiped him a bunch of false worshipers? He called them false worshipers and hypocrites. Notice the words of the Christ of the New Testament is the biggest indictment that I can find that will condemn the Christians. And that is the so-called words of the Christ of the New Testament himself. Notice what he said in the book of John, the 4th chapter, the 22nd to the 24th verse. Notice what he said.
Ye worship, ye know not what.
Christ in the New Testament told a lady that might be a Baptist or a Presbyterian or Unitarian or Seventh-day Adventist or a Jehovah's Witness. We don't know which religious cult she belonged to, but we know it was one of the cults. And notice what he told this lady. You worship, you know not what. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of Yehuda Deen. In other words, he told us salvation is to the Jews. For the Jews are the chosen people. We were the ones that were given the holy articles of Elohim. We were the ones that was given his commandments and statutes and judgments. Salvation is to us. We know what's right, whether we do it or not. We know what is right. And he told a lady, you worship, you know not what. But we know, we, meaning him and others collectively, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
But the hour cometh.
He tells the lady, the hour cometh, and now is. That meant why he was presently there. He's speaking of himself, and now is.
When the true worshipers,
yep. And are you a true worshiper? I know you'd like to think that you are, but if you look here, the Christ of the New Testament considers you a false worshiper and not a true worshiper. According to the Christ, the only true worshipers are Israel. Look what he says. He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall
worship the Father.
Shall worship the Father. Not him, not Christ, but the Christ says the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In truth, not in lies, not in deceit, as you're living today in a total state of lies, confusion, and deceit.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
The Father is seeking people to worship him. Yahweh today is looking for a few good men and a few good women to worship him. I said a few because he knows that majority of you are going to ignore him. He knows that majority of our people are hypocrites. That's when he said only a remnant of his people would be saved. That's the reason the Christ of the New Testament says, seek ye the straight gate. For broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many shall go therein. But straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leadeth to righteousness, and few men shall find the way thereof. So the way of righteousness only a few people are going to see. So he knows that the majority of our listeners are hypocrites. He knows that majority of you all know that I'm telling the truth, but you're not going to change because you're hard-headed and stiff-necked. But he's looking for a few good men and women. And he says the Father is seeking such to worship him. And today I'm calling on those that are sincere and dedicated. Call us, for the Father's looking for you. He's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to show the world that you stand up for him. He's waiting for you to tell the world that you're tired of living in lies and deceit and confusion. He's waiting for you to tell the world that you are one of them that fear him. You must speak up. You must call in. You must identify yourself. Martin Luther King says, any man that won't stand for nothing or fall for anything, and we're asking you not to just stand for something, but we're telling you today to stand up for the King of Kings, the Most High himself. Identify yourself. Let the world know that you can no longer be confused and trapped in these lies. Notice what the Most High let our people know further in the book of Songs. If we go to Songs 72, Songs 71. No wonder the Christ of the New Testament constantly went to the law and say what is written as his protection. We're going to deal with this in a moment. But right now we have news coming on, and we'll be right back to join you in our conversation. Don't use the Almighty's name in vain, and I'm telling those that know him, don't take him in vain. Stand up, identify yourself. And we'll be right back in a few minutes. And if anybody want to join us, call us at area code 513-749-1230. And if you can't hear us very well, get your computer and go on the internet to www.houseofisrael.org. House of Israel spelled YISRAEL.org. And you'll hear us clearly. We're asking you to call us right in at the House of Israel, 749-1230. Call us right back. We'll be right back in 1 minute. Shalom.
12:30.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel bringing you truth or tradition. Today we're talking about the third commandment. What does it mean, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, the Elohim, in vain? For Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And yes, you take his name in vain when you substitute anything for his name instead of calling him by his proper name. Many people just call him the Most High. And that's all they say because they don't want to call his name. Some of them call him I Am. And that's all they want to call him. They say he know who I'm talking about. Yes, he does know. But he has a proper name. And he told those that love him and fear him and tremble at his word to recognize and regard his name. And we're dealing with this today. But right now we have some brothers and sisters that's on the air. And we want to go right to them and talk with them a moment and see what they are talking about. A couple of brothers just got cut off accidentally, I guess. All right. But right now, we hope you call back Sister DJ, we wanted to hear your comments. Don't be afraid. Stand up. We want you to call back. Stand up. The Almighty's looking for a few good women and good men that are ready to tell the truth or either straighten me out and say it is not true. But right now we're going to go to our beautiful brother that's calling in, Brother Joshua. Brother Joshua.
Shalom, Moray Alicia.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. I would like to thank the House of Israel. I thank the House of Israel for the flowers that they sent my family. Sent for my sister. The calls that you had for us, for the card, and most of all, brother, I'd like to thank you. Pretty unexpected visit that you appeared at my sister's funeral. You've always, and I look back, you've always been a very strong part of my family. My children adore you. They run to you like you're their grandfather. And I look at you as their grandfather. You've been a very, very strong figure in my life and in my family's life. And I'd like to thank the people in the House of Israel, like Sister Elder Miriam and Brother Terry, who also contributed a lot of their ear to me. But most of all, you, Alicia, you know, your teachings are great, and I know the time that you put into your studies, and you give, you know, you call me up and talk to me and have an ear for me also. And I thank you. I thank you very much. May Yah bless you, brother.
Thank you, brother, and may Yah continually bless you and be with you. And our show tonight is dedicated to you and the love that we have for you and your family. And we're sorry about the circumstances in your life right now, but Yahweh, He will take you through it.
Amen.
As He has done before.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Almighty.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Shalom.
Shalom. Right now, we're going to go right to our brother, right in Cincinnati, Brother Malik. Brother Malik.
How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. I want to ask you a question. Have you all ever been in a situation at your place of worship where a brother or sister may have taken ill and you had to call the ambulance to export him to the hospital?
No, but I do remember a time that about 20 or 30 years ago, somebody got ill, and we left him and took him to the hospital. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the reason why I was saying that, someone, I was talking to one of your fellow Israelites, and they was telling me someone had taken ill, a brother.
Yes.
And at the place of worship, and you all had to call the paramedics to take him to the hospital.
No, that's not. So we didn't have to call the paramedics. One of the brothers, they took him. It was his son. He took him to the hospital.
They took him to the hospital.
Yes, he took him to the hospital.
Okay. Now, by the fact that you had to take him to a hospital where he had to be attended to and treated, I want you to connect that with Exodus 20, 9 and 10.
All right. Let me connect that for you.
Okay.
All right. So everybody can know what I'm going to say. They can join us in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 8th.
No.
To the,
not,
yes,
I'm going to read.
I said we're going to start at the 8th.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I thought you meant that I said 8th.
No,
all right.
Sir. You said 9, but I wanted to start at the 8th verse so everybody can hear this whole commandment to the Sabbath day.
Exactly.
All right. Now, it starts at the 8th verse, and we're going to read until we get to the 12th verse because it's all about the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show you the connection or if there's a connection at all.
Okay.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work.
So right here, the Creator tells us that 6 days we have to work. 6 days we have to do all our labor and do all our work within the confines of 6 days.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh da Elohim.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh da Elohim.
In it thou shalt not do any work.
In it thou shalt not do any work.
Thou.
Thou.
Nor thy son.
Nor your sons.
Nor thy daughter.
Nor your daughter.
Thy manservant.
Nor your manservant.
Nor thy maidservant.
Nor your maidservant.
Nor thy cattle.
Nor the cattle that is within thy gate. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Now what we hear have all the instructions that the Almighty gave us relating to the Sabbath day. And he put emphasis in the fact that he didn't want us to do any work in that day. That is the day that we cease from working. But the Almighty does not consider it working when one tries to attend to their sick. On our Sabbath day, we still feed our sick. We still take care of the elderly. And we still do what we have to sustain life. But it's a day that he specifically said not to do any work. And we don't work that day. We keep this day holy, but we are allowed to fight and defend ourselves on this day, and we are allowed to take care of our sick on this day and feed our babies that's infants on this day or feed anybody that's incapacitated in this day. And this is what we have been teaching for years. Now, if anyone has made an error with this, under my teachings or under my supervision, I'll take the blame for that, but I teach that it's okay to see about one sick on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, I could be on the way to class, but if I see you, Brother Malik, in a car accident on the street, I'm going to stop, I'm going to go out, and if I'm the only one there, you're going to get in my car, and I'm going to take you to the hospital to someone that can attend to you. And after I'm finished, if I have time, I'll go to the Bible class. If not, I'll be there in the hospital with you. And I think this is an act of righteousness. I don't think it's vain. I don't think it's attending to one's own business. And I see all this as being a service to the Most High. That's how I translate it.
Well, let me respond to that.
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, you said that the Almighty don't consider that as working. But someone has to work to keep the electric power going, communication systems afloat. In other words, you just cannot shut a whole society down on the seventh day. Somebody is going to have to work. Now, what we need to do this. You need to maybe do a whole show on how you are going to shut a whole society down.
Well, I tell you
on
what,
one day.
Let me tell you what this.
And keep it flow. Because somebody's going to have to work a little.
Let me respond
There's
to that.
There's no way you can get around that.
Let me respond to that, please.
Go ahead.
Now, we're on the third commandment right now. And the third commandment said, thou shalt not take the name of Yah in vain. And our emphasis is going to be on this today.
Okay.
Now, next week, the fourth commandment is on the Sabbath day.
Okay.
And we're going to deal strictly with the Sabbath day. And when we get on that, I'm going to answer all the questions on the Sabbath day. I'm going to explain the significance of doctors and nurses and hospitals and so on and so forth.
And
we're going to deal
with
that.
They are working.
We're going to deal with that next week
can do any work.
Yeah, we're
going to. But
gonna,
they are
no,
working.
No, but you. Yeah, we're going to explain that because
you need to explain that because
all we
that
have
needs
to do,
be explained.
Wait. All we have to do is look at the 10th commandment, the 10th verse. The 10th verse says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yah, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor your son." And though our sons and daughters, we teach them not to work on the Sabbath day, nor your manservant. We don't have no manservants here today. Nor your maidservant. We don't have no maidservant. Nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within our gates. Now, we were in Jerusalem or in the land of Canaan in our own gates, then no stranger would be allowed to work. No stranger would be allowed to open up a hospital. No stranger would be allowed to have a gas and electric building running in our land on the Sabbath day, because the Almighty blessed our land. He blessed it and called it the land of milk and honey. And today we've been kicked out of our land because of our disobedience. And now we're put in another man's land and in the midst of another people. And we're going to deal with still how do we perform the vows that we have made to the Most High, even in the land of our captivity regarding the Sabbath day. But today we're going to deal with the third commandment, which is thou should not take the name of Yahweh, the Elohim, in vain. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And I wish all our listeners respond to that commandment and wait till next week for us to deal with the Almighty's great Sabbath day. But right now we're going right out of town to Arkansas. The brother, we're going Yaakov in Arkansas. Then we're going to North Carolina. But right now we're in Arkansas. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Alicia.
Yes, sir.
Giving our praise to Yah. You know, I was thinking about the worshiping, not using Yah's name in vain. You know, it was quite ironic. I was thinking of this during the week and in Luke, the third chapter, and many of our Christian sisters and brothers, and this is something that Yah, you know, put in my spirit. In Luke, the third chapter, and in verse 22, it talks about when the Holy Ghost descended upon J.C. You know, I found it ironic that he did not know that he was the son of the Creator until he was 30 years of age. Well, that lets me know that apparently John the Baptist never heard anything about a virgin birth, and apparently Christ didn't know anything about a virgin birth because he did not receive, I guess, when the Holy Ghost came down upon him, then the light bulb clicked on in his head, and then he said, well, I'm the son of the Creator. So apparently his mother and father never told him this idea. So the thing about it, I don't think most, I would like many of our Christian sister brother would call in because they explain this. Why did he take, why was he 30 years of age before this light bulb clicked on in his head that he, you know, became the son of the Creator? Because many of our sister and brother are caught up in worshiping other deities. And this is one of the main things that is plaguing our people and causing these curses to still be upon us. And also, could you read Psalms 111, verse 7 through 10, to let our sisters and brothers know that Yahweh's word is forever and forever?
Oh, sure, we will, and that was a good point you brought up. Why he had to wait till he was around 30 to find out who he is, if he's in fact the Most High, and if he's the Almighty's personal son, as they're teaching that he is.
Seemed like he would have knew.
Oh, yes.
At a young age that he was the virgin birth. Well, that lets me know apparently he didn't know anything about a virgin birth.
That is true.
As well as John the Baptist, his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know anything about it. And it lets me know he didn't receive this knowledge until the Holy Ghost supposedly came down and revealed this to him. So
right.
It let us know that he was a man, and many of our people ought to realize that he was just another one of our brothers, and we should not have to. We don't have to worship the creature, and that the only person we should be worshiping is Yahweh.
Hallelujah. And we're going to read that for you right now.
Okay, thank you, Brother Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Psalms 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people.
He sent redemption unto his people.
He hath commanded his covenant forever.
Not for a time and season, but he commanded his covenants forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And yes, holy and reverend his name. Yet reverend is not a noun. It's in a verb tense in Hebrew. So what that's talking about, you should reverence or fear his name. A lot of ministers are looking and say, hey, his name is reverend, so I'm going to call myself reverend. The Almighty said holy and reverend his name. Reverend is letting you know an action. You got to respect his name because it's to be placed in awe and greatness to you. But it's not a name for anybody to call himself. And the only ones we know in our society that call themselves by the name of Reverend, you would have to be an absolute fool to start studying the Bible and then all of a sudden reach a point in your life to hate that I'm Reverend also. I can call myself Reverend, even though no one in the Bible has ever called himself by the name of Reverend. Even though there's no one in the New Testament called Apostle Paul or Reverend Paul, I'm going to call myself that because I see that's where the Most High had called himself by that name. The Almighty's name is Yahweh. And yes, Yahweh's name is holy and it is reverend. It is greatly respected and held in awe by all that are about him. But I'm glad you wrote that, read that. That was very beautiful. We appreciate that. But right now, if anybody have any other questions, any other comments that they want us to engage ourselves in, please call. Well, right now we're on the third commandment, so we're going to deal with this. But we want to tell our listening audience to be tuned in because next week we're going to deal with the Sabbath day. And all the questions they have about the Sabbath day pertaining to hospitals and doctors and nurses and people getting sick and how you keep it correctly, we're going to answer those questions. But right now we was hoping that our people dealt with keeping not calling the Almighty's name and keeping his name in vain. And we say our brothers didn't have nothing to say about that because the Muslim brothers know that this name Allah is not a name. And they know when they're using it, it just means the deity. And they know that they are using the name of the Most High in vain by not calling him by his proper name, as many of our people did that respected him. And many of the people in the Arabic countries called him by his proper name in their songs and in the names that they named their cities. And we're going to talk about this. I have my brother Isaiah on from Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to deal with him on this subject. Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom, Barak.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Beautiful program and beautiful subject that you brought up. It's kind of ironic that a lot of people will go to great lengths to try to get you to pronounce their name right. And
yes.
To call them by their name,
yes.
And for you to respect their name.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you start talking about the Creator and his name,
right.
Everybody want to say you can call him anything.
What's
it don't matter what you call him.
He know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he know who we talking about. But you call them out of their name, then they'll see the significance behind the name.
First thing they'll do is going to tell you his name. And that's first thing the Almighty did, tell us his name.
That's right. That's right. And even talking about these commandments, I see the greatness in that commandment because the Creator, first, once you know that there's none beside him, then you can start calling on his great name. But if you're calling on a name and you think somebody beside him, you're still taking his name in vain. And so Yah want us to know his name. He want us to exalt his name. He want us to sing to his name. And you were speaking on the various cities in Iraq that glorified the Creator and his name, letting you know the inhabitants of the people,
yeah.
This name go further back than them.
That's about 10 cities in Iraq that got their
Almighty
name.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And matter of fact, the reason why this name or these cities was published is because this is where, when the United States went into Iraq, this is where they traveled, a lot of places that they bombed, because this is where a lot of the oil fields were, and these are places that they put their bases at.
Yeah,
and
these cities are in the country of Iraq. I called it the city, and pardon me, because earlier I called it a city, oldest city. I meant they
country.
Have some of the oldest cities in the world in that country of Iraq.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And Iraq is one of the oldest countries,
mm-hmm.
One of the oldest countries. Just in Baghdad itself, they have two towns. One is called Qadimiyya.
Qadimiyya.
And the other one is called Ahamiyya.
Ahamiyya, yes. Uh-huh.
And this is in the capital city of Baghdad.
All right.
Some other cities that's in the country, especially where they have the oil fields, and you mentioned one of them is Nasiriyya.
Yeah, Nasiriyya.
And then when they went in there, that was one of the first places that they tried to take over. And some of the other countries, and now there's Kurds, Sunnis, and Shiites in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And in all three Islamic sects, you'll find all these cities all over. over Iraq. So they just not in one particular place or one town. They all over in the Kurds, in the Sunnis, and the Shiites' hometowns. Another one is called Ahmadiyya.
Yes, Ahmadiyya, yeah.
Another one is Salamaniyya.
Mm-hmm.
Another city is Miqdadiyya.
Yes, yes.
One of the other cities is Diwaniyya.
Yes, yes.
And it's, I mean, there's several, there's so many.
Then you have Solamandia, also another
city. Oh, you're absolutely right. And Shemaya.
Yes.
And Fallujah.
Yes.
All of them letting you know, giving praise. And if they don't know anything about Hebrew, I'll tell them a little something. When our towns were named, they were named giving honor and glory and praise to the Creator. So they determined these cities by their names, by how Yah had blessed us and how Yah had dealt with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how these names came about. And so these are many of the places that we see over in Iraq until this very day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and all praise in the Most High.
Yes.
And most knowledgeable Muslims know when they call out this other name, it's not the proper name of anyone.
That's
just
right.
Means the deity. They know the Most High's name was Yahweh. They all that. All the Christians that are knowledgeable, they knew this. And you have many Christian congregations now changing their name to the House of Yahweh, the Congregation of Yahweh. And they're just Christians, but they're Christians that recognize the Almighty's name. That's all. But they're still worshiping a graven image. They're still worshiping a man, but they just want to know that, let the people know that they know the Most High's name is Yahweh. You have a lot of Pentecostals and apostolic people. They're calling out the name of Yahweh, but they're going to still use this other name and put them beside him.
Well, you're right. That's right.
They're going to still call out they realize that JC's name is wrong, so they replaced it with a name called Yahshua.
That's
and
right.
The point is, I asked all my Christian brothers and all my Pentecostal and apostolic brothers, I say, hey, if Yahshua was anybody of any significance, why isn't his name mentioned anywhere in the scriptures? Why didn't the Most High mention his name anywhere in the Holy Scriptures at all, period?
And
they can't explain that.
And I would like the Muslims to explain why come not one town that I've seen over there in a Muslim country, I didn't see not one name that contained, or one country or one city contained the name Ali.
That's right.
I didn't see one city or country contained the name Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see one city that contained the name Shabazz.
Yes.
Or anything remotely suggested anything like that.
All those are Johnny come latelys, and they know it. They're Johnny come latelys. But their ancient fathers knew. They knew the Most High, because Ishmael knew the Most High.
Yes.
And he's the father of the Arabic nation. So all the ancient ones knew, but the Bedouin ones, they broke away from that. And now they're serving a religion and something that they themselves don't know nothing about.
That's right.
But it is not the ancient one that Ishmael and his descendants served years ago. You're absolutely right.
And of course, the Creator, him only, is the only one that name was so great that he told the world, don't take his name in vain, as you're trying to highlight right now. And you won't find these other things with these other deities.
No, you won't see where the Christ said, don't take his name in vain, because
right.
They knew that wasn't his name. You
that's
won't
right.
see where the Muslims said, hey, don't take my name in vain. That's not even incorporated in the seven principles. It's not there.
Right.
Because they know what's vain in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
It don't mean nothing.
You're absolutely right.
So I praise Yah for your program, and I praise Yah for you bringing the light to the people, because the Creator said, his ways and his laws shall endure to the end. The grass withered, the flower faded, but Yah's word shall last and stand forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, don't go nowhere. I'm
let me hold
you
on.
Yeah, we're going to hold you on. And then right now, we're going to go right to Cincinnati to Sister Jackie. Then we're going right to Brother Michael Riley. But right now, we're going to Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie.
Shalom, Brother Israel.
Shalom, shalom.
And to Yah be the glory.
Well, I said I hope a few good women and a few good men called, and you came. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And you know what? tonight when you were speaking about using the name Yah in vain. You know, I hear people talking about Jesus. Oh, I don't use that name. That word, well, Jesus and God.
Yeah.
Well, one lady I was talking to, she's at work, and she studied going on with this. So I asked her, when you had a, I said, who is God? And she said, that was, you know, JC's father. I said, okay, but you had to go through him to get your prayer through? She said, yes. I said, when you were a little girl, did your father have a name? She said, yes. I said, well, did you have to have, you wanted some candy, did you have to ask your mother to go ask your father for some candy? Or if you wanted to go outside, did you have to have somebody to be the mediator between you and your father? So why do you have to have a mediator to be go between you and your God? So who, what's his name? He has a name.
That's right.
So then I can say God, you know what?
Yeah, and that God is just dog spelled backwards. And that name could beat anybody. If you got a rock, this is my God. You're not telling nobody the name of the Most High.
That's right.
His name is a proper noun, not a common noun.
And I told her, I said, you don't even know who you're worshiping.
And then they're going to make, they're going to put two titles together. So his name is Lord God. Those are just two titles. They're going to make, this is the Lord God. His last name is God. And come on. That's
right.
Yes.
Okay. So y'all be the glory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Appreciate your calling, sister.
Okay.
And we want to encourage other brothers and sisters to call in and stand up.
Okay.
The Almighty is looking for a few good men, a good few good women to call in and show that you're worth
right.
knowing
good.
Him.
And he's good.
And him revealing himself unto you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right now I'm going to go right to Brother Michael Riley in Cincinnati. Yes, sir, my brother. How are you?
All right. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
One of the things that we noticed that we have a church in a black neighborhood on every corner, in the middle of the block, around the corner, everywhere we go.
Yes, yes.
And people go from jumping one church to another church, whoever the biggest, the newest, or whatever church they have.
Mm-hmm.
And in these churches, we hear this thing that they've got the Father, the Son, and this Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, wherever you want. Now, if you really say you love the Creator or love thing, how come you got to be three to be one? That is called polytheism.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the Creator.
Nothing.
But we sit here and say, oh, yes, it has to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that we are really hung up on, when something happens in nature, what they always say, I don't know who nature is, and you got Mother Nature. Who is Mother Nature?
Mother Nature, yeah, ain't that something?
They don't say God, they say Mother Nature.
Don't want to give no credit at all. This Mother Nature did this.
Mother Nature, who is Mother Nature?
Yeah.
There's no religion.
Right.
Nowhere
right. Mm-hmm.
brings out Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is total paganism.
Yes, yes.
But every day you hear them talking about, well, Mother Nature did this and mother. And why they call her mother? That's a homosexual act, calling God a homosexual.
Yes, yes. They don't realize how their stupidity. And the Creator is very jealous, and you're giving his glory. Oh, that's Mother Nature did this. Mother Nature did that. Yes.
And
as if
call,
there's two different gods. You,
right. Mm-hmm. They call him a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And that justifies a lot of times what people talk about, well, women this, women that. Is God a woman or a man? Or is it a homosexual or what? They got you totally confused.
Yes, yes.
Like a good example, you mentioned Michelangelo earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Michelangelo's a homosexual.
Uh-oh.
He painted all the little fairies running around on the Sistine Chapel.
Uh-oh.
Flying around. Where'd they come from? Where these little fairies come around with wings and stuff?
Yeah.
Where does it say angels had wings flying around like
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere has it said that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we sit here and let some homosexual tell us a whole lot of fairy stories.
Yes.
We're not really worshiping what really came down.
That is true. They're not.
You know, in the story of Lot, where the homosexuals were, you know, the angels were men.
That's right. That's right.
Not no fairies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you come with that whole thing again.
They couldn't even distinguish them from the other men. They thought that there wasn't no difference.
That's what I'm saying. So, but see, we deal with this homosexual attitude
mm-hmm.
that we have of Christianity, where you had these freaks trying to take over this religion and seeing it's all right to be a freak. It's all right to worship anything you want to worship, but you cannot worship the Creator. And one other thing, we always talk about we love God or Creator, whatever you want to call him. How come we can't make him black?
That's the color the Bible describes him anyway. Why can't you duplicate what's written? And they don't want to do that because that'll make people start thinking. Mm-hmm. And they don't want our people to think.
And like we all know genetically that everything comes from the black man.
Oh, yes, yes.
But they don't want you to teach it because they don't want you to have no pride, no dignity into yourself. They want you to worship some white man up on a stick hanging there that Michelangelo put up there.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the creation.
Nothing at all.
And why would you go to Rome to deal with the creator anyway? Life did not begin in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the type of things we don't think about when we go to these big temples of Satan, these Greek churches.
Mm-hmm.
Where we go there and flock and give all our money out. And the baddest churches and preachers who got the most money, who got the biggest car, the biggest church.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what we worship. We don't worship the creator. We worship the man with the big car.
All right.
So, and one other thing I want to talk about, update with Kabaka's trial. They said there's no date.
No date?
No. I called the prosecutor. They said there's no date now. I think they're trying to smooth it over. And they're trying to make a plea bargain. There's no date, and I'll talk to him this week.
Yeah.
So that's awful strange. Well, they had a date. They had a date in June, and now all of a sudden there's no date.
And what was their reasoning for no date?
Well, they even gave no reason. They said, well, you know, I asked them, I gave them my name and everything, and what went on. They said, if we need you, we'll call you. So I'm telling you, they're getting ready to do a con job, a flea bargain or something. So people be aware. Don't let
how are you
going to
have a flea bargain on a cold, a straight-out murder?
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what it looks like is coming down, but they have no date. They say maybe in a few months, maybe not. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them this week.
Well, maybe the people need to start calling in.
That's what I'm saying.
People trust in the system and believes the system is right and that is fair, and the people that got voted for their representatives in Congress and the Senate and in the council to find out what's going on. Maybe we need to call your black mayor and find out what's happening.
That's what I'm saying. We need to call these so-called elected officials,
mm-hmm.
these so-called chillin' eat preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Find out why is Mayor Trout?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it taking so long? Why aren't they calling witnesses? These are the type of things we need to find out.
Yeah.
Don't let this murder go on on the bench, because that's what it's like is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to bring that out.
Well,
everybody,
I appreciate
there's
that.
No trial so far.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, now we're going right to another brother in Cincinnati, Ohio. Lightning Rod. Lightning Rod, how you doing?
Shalom, shalom, Brother Alicia.
Shalom, shalom.
How you be?
Excellent, brother. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I got a brother that wanted to say something to you real quick, and then I'm going to get back on the phone.
Okay.
Okay, here he is.
Here. General Kabaka of the Black Fist, how y'all doing? I got a problem, and I hope y'all can help me out with it. Be a little sympathetic.
Okay.
We got left, we got right. We got Republican, we got Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
We got liberal, we got conservative. Then you got the black man. The country is running out of money because of the war in Iraq. The state is running out of money. The county is running out of money. The city is definitely running out of money. Everybody's running out of money. I didn't get my 40 acres in a mule.
All right.
I'm trying to get my reparations. How in the hell am I going to get reparations if y'all keep running out of money? That's my dilemma. And if you want to give me the 40 acres in a mule, make it 40 acres in a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he just wanted to put that out there real quick to everybody.
That was beautiful.
So I wanted him to go ahead and get a chance to get that out.
That was beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I miss that brother, man, because
yes.
I used to see him a lot and talk to him and stuff, you
mm-hmm.
know, in the neighborhood and everything. And I stood and protested with him next. You know, I protested right next to him a couple times, man. You know, and he was a strong brother. You know, I don't know nothing about his personal life, but I'm talking about.
Well, he was a strong brother, and he was a brother that loved his people and
right.
didn't mind jeopardizing himself because of the love that he had for his people.
Yeah.
He loved the Most High. He, remember, I've talked about this before with the cities. He brought to my attention that his two granddaughters, both of their last names has Yah in it. But he was a beautiful brother, and I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to go ahead and put that message out there for him, for y'all, because he wanted it out there.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful, and I appreciate that.
And I'll call you back again, too, because there's some more stuff you got to say.
All right, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
Alicia, talk
Thank
to you later.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, peace.
Shalom. It was very beautiful. Inspiring hearers to hear from the general. Love to hear his voice. I miss it myself. Right now, we're going right to Cincinnati. The brother, Levi. Brother Levi.
Hey, shalom, brother.
Shalom.
A very good program.
Thank you.
I wanted to add something in Malachi 6 and 11 on the name.
Okay.
And, you know, you had mentioned, you know, all the, you know, the people, the, you know, the call
you
in.
You said
and,
Malachi 6?
Yes, the first chapter, I'm sorry, the 6th and 11th verse.
Oh, the 6th and 11th verse.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, for the, you know, all praises, you know, just a little testimony. You know, I got my name changed in 95, and it was the best thing that I could have ever done.
All right.
And my relationship with the Creator Almighty has been great, and I love to tell people my name. You know, it means something, you know, and I try to make sure it means something. And to have an example like yourself to show the men out here how to walk and carry that name is a very beautiful.
Right.
Sixth verse, it says, first chapter, sixth verse of Malachi, son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear?
Mm-hmm.
Saith Yah of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that are in positions to be his true priests, you know, to be his true teachers,
mm-hmm.
but to choose to teach these other false doctrines and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?
Mm-hmm.
And there's many ways we have despised thy name. You know, it's one thing that I realize over the years, you know, you be out here and you try to, you know, share things with your people and let them know, hey, that end that we always been called and these names, hey, we're a people. We have a great name and we're somebody.
Yes,
and it's a joy to look at your people in the eye and tell them, hey, we're somebody. Look what I found out. Let me share this with you, brother. Let me share this with you, sister. And sometimes, you know, the response is, and some, you know, it's, they're not content. And to know that we are somebody, we have a great name.
Yes, we do.
It's not Williams and Smith and whatnot. We have a great name.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty has separated his chosen people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to allow us to get and gave us his name. You know, like a lot of men would take pride in a woman they've been wanting to marry and they've been dating for a while, and she take on his name.
Mm-hmm.
We have a father, and we all, you know, want to honor our father, you know, our fathers and mothers on earth, and we should honor our father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, you know, when you cried out, you know, you mentioned like, hey, you know, the people that want to serve the Almighty, that want to honor their father, you know, to call in, you know, we should do that. And let our father know and our people know, hey, we're out here, and we want to honor our father. And he deserves honor. And if I could read that 11th verse real quick.
Oh, yes.
For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place shall be offered unto my name and pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says Yah. And it will.
Yeah.
You know, and some of us see it and recognize what the Almighty's doing. We are growing as a nation. People are waking up.
Yes.
And it's all beautiful for this show, the True for Tradition. is people are waking up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're crying out for our brothers and sisters to join with us. Because, you know, that some are going to be part of that calling of the Almighty's name and exalting it, and some because they just didn't want to honor the Father and acknowledge their heritage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to not acknowledge our heritage as downtrodden as we have been, you think the people be looking to be exalted as the Almighty has done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
sir.
All right.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, that was deep, and I appreciate that, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Right now, we're going right to Cincinnati again to Brother Harold. Yes, sir.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Or Alicia.
Shalom.
Yeah,
shalom.
This is a beautiful program,
thank
and
you.
I'm glad you explained with the third commandment meant, because I had some problems with it, but you explained it very clearly. So now I understand it, and not to take the name of Yah in vain. And I would like to ask the reader to read Psalms 109,
mm-hmm.
verses 30 and 31, and that lets you know that I clearly understand what the third commandment means. And I'm going to hang up and say shalom.
All right, shalom, brother.
All right.
109, verse 30 to 31.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I will greatly praise Yah with my mouth.
I will greatly praise Yahweh with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him amongst the multitudes. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's bringing out the fact that I will greatly praise the Almighty with his mouth. Now, if we didn't know his name, then how could we praise him with his mouth? We wasn't singing out Hashem. No, that's not what we were doing. We were calling out his name as he instructed us to. There's nowhere that I looked and found that where the Creator said not to call out his name. As the Jewish people are doing in teaching, they teach that you don't call out his name. They teach to call out his name, but it's in vain. They say they only use the name during the Day of Atonement. The priests use it. But here the Creator all through the scriptures tell us to call out his name, to sing to his name, to praise his name. And I hadn't found one verse, not one single verse, where the Almighty warns us not to call out his name. He merely tells us not to use his name in vain, which is understandable. But when you're not using it at all, you're using it in vain, because you're taking it as a vain thing. Hallelujah. Also, before we go, we have a brother again. I want to bring him in from North Carolina to talk to us. We don't get the pleasure of talking with this great Moray that's going to be in the presence of us on the third weekend of July for our conference that we're going to have in Cincinnati, and he's going to speak on some subjects, and I'm going to call him in so he can tell you a little bit about things he's going to speak on in our conference here in Cincinnati. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, shalom, Moray, again, and my gracious, a beautiful, awesome program, and people are waking up to realize how great the Creator is and how beautiful his name is and how honorable he is and how we shall honor him. And I'm looking forward to being there in Cincinnati, Ohio in the third weekend of July.
Yeah, that's so, the weekend of the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
That's uh-huh. correct. That's uh-huh. correct. And we are coming in droves and from North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, and they come from all over the country because it's time for our people to gather themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the occasion of our meeting. We're going to bring out to the people how we must come together in every way. And so sometimes a lot of these organizations, they just come together,
mm-hmm.
and the organization make a little money.
Yeah.
This is not our situation, and this is not our case. We occasion this meeting.
We've been
meeting.
Giving conferences over 10 years and not made a penny.
That's right. That's right. We spent more than we gave out. Mm-hmm. And that's just to educate and inform our people what Yah require of us and what his desires are. And his desires for us today is to come together in every way. A lot of our people are out of work today, Moray Alicia, because many of the Mexicans are taking jobs. And it's not their fault, because if I was in their situation, I would take the job also. But you find out that many of these corporations are conspirators and conspiring against our people, as the Creator said they would. Many of our people are homeless today in droves. They're getting kicked off of welfare. So the only people we have to depend on is Yah and ourselves. And we're coming to Cincinnati to let the people know how exactly do we come together.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
And so we're going to be dealing with finances. We're going to be dealing with credit. We're going to deal with land. We're going to deal with food. We're going to deal, most importantly, with the Creator's divine word on how we are to do this. And as you taught me many years ago, Yah has the answer to everything, and he left no stone unturned.
That is true.
And so we're going to be there informing the people, and not only just informing them, but we ourselves is going to take the first step so that the people can be able to follow and have a good example on how we build a nation. And when it's time to build.
All right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, don't go nowhere. We got another sister on. We look like we got Sister Amiel coming on.
Praise the mighty Yah.
So we can hold you.
Okay.
This is right here from Cincinnati. This is Brother Aaron, the great Brother Aaron's wife calling in. Sister Amiel, let's get her on the mic. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, I had to call in and be a witness for Yah because he's done so much for me.
Yes, he has.
Okay, and I'm glad
we got some sisters that can stand up and be a witness for the Most High.
Okay, and one thing that you can always depend on, Yah, he didn't leave us here in captivity to follow Christianity. He didn't leave us lost because in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you can start at the 15th verse, but it goes down and it says, you shouldn't make any graven image of anything, the likeness of any animal that's on the earth or the likeness of any bird that flies in the air. And you can go down and read also. And then you can turn to the book of Matthew, the third chapter, and where the image of that the Christians worship is a dove. And it reads, I think it's the 16th verse. It says, when he baptized J.C. immediately, from the waters, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the spirit of Elohim descended like a dove and alighting upon him. And we know that this is a thing that we are not to do. We're not to worship anything, whether it be a man, a woman, an animal, a child, anything, because the Almighty is a jealous Elohim, and he will deal with you in for sinning. And I would just like to call in and be a witness to Yah and say we're to fear him and worship him and no one else.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And I can see where Christ, if the Christ of the New Testament, I noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the devil would ask him a question according to the New Testament, he would take him right to the word of the Most High as his defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he learned that from David, as I learned from David.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what David said in Psalm 72. He told us what to do in any situation. And here's what David said in Psalms 71. I'm going to start reading verse 16.
I will go in the strength of Yahweh Elohim.
He said, I will go in the strength of Yahweh Elohim. I will make mention
of thy righteousness.
Of thy righteousness.
Even of thine only.
Even of thine only. Only. No wonder every time the devil is alleged or said something, he said, it is written. And then he quoted the law.
Mm-hmm.
For the law is our life and the length of our days. The law is a shield and a light unto us. The law is the only thing that have preserved our seed this day.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here today in America surviving as a result of Christianity, nor as a result of Islam, but we're here surviving as a result of the Almighty's mercy that endures forever.
Praise Yah.
Not because of our obedience, not because of our righteousness, but because of his mercy endured forever. And because of this mercy that he allowed us to survive, that you and I are here today. And that's the reason David said, I will go in the strength of Yahweh, my Elohim. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. See, the Christians, when they go to try to show examples of righteousness, they go to Christ. He has no righteousness compared to that of the Most High. There are no examples that can exceed that of the Most High. None.
1230 WDBZ, Cincinnati.
But right now, sister, I'm going to let you know because our full program is almost over.
Okay. Praise Yah.
And I want the listening audience to know that if they want to contact us, please call us at air code 513-226-7110. Or go on the internet, www.houseofisrael.org. That's YISRAEL, houseofisrael.org. Or come and visit us at 1664 California Avenue. Next week, we'll either finish on Don't Take Yah's Name in Vain, or we might go straight to the Sabbath days. We want all our listeners to call in, have the questions ready, because we're dealing with a very exciting subject, and that's how our people keep the Sabbath day. And we're going to deal with that next week. And at the next week, Yah loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.